like to preach on the sacraments. It's something we do a lot, especially the Lord's Supper, but we don't preach on it that much. And so today is a Lord's Supper Holy Communion sermon. You know, occasionally people will ask me if the Presbyterian Church practices closed communion. Well, my response is an unequivocal no. That old 19th century ecclesiastical heresy of a restricted Lord's Supper limited certain people continues to have its adherents today, but thankfully only in some Neanderthal closed communion pockets of the church today. Throughout the ministry of Jesus Christ, there were no dehumanizing actions enacted to prevent people from getting close to Him, since there is assurance through faith in Christ is guided by the Holy Spirit. Our actions will demonstrate the attitude of grace as found in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. There is nothing scriptural about denying to any Christian this love feast that Christ established for people of faith to observe until His return. I edited out, but I want to say this. There was limited closed communion early, about 200-300 years ago in the Presbyterian Church. The minister, and you've probably heard me talk about fencing the table, had the option of anybody sinned that week, and he knew about it, he could point you out and say, you're not taking the Lord's Supper today. I don't think that would apply in this church because I'd have to fence you all in with barbed wire to get it happen, so we won't be doing any fencing in a long, long time there. But you know, the bread Christ referred is more than just about His body. It is about us, the body of Christ. If you want to read more about it, look in the book of Romans. The Apostle Paul really goes into detail about the body of Christ. But as the body of Christ, we are a diverse and hopefully a united group of people. The unity in the body of Christ is accomplished through those commonalities found in the Apostles' Creed. See, when we recite the Creed, we're just not reciting something out of rote memory. We're reciting something that we all share in common. And you know, the Creed goes back into the early years of the church. So it wasn't just written overnight. It has been throughout for almost 2,000 years a part of the church, and it states exactly what we believe as Christians. When there is unity, then we possess the quality of fellowship that can only be orchestrated together by the Holy Spirit. It has been said that the real test of our closeness, fellowship, our relationship to God is found in the manner in which we treat one another. Well, you know, that can be defined better in the what is it? The golden rule, that's right. I need to take my memory pills today. The golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That is almost a result of the grace found in the Lord's Supper. You think about that. We receive the supper out of gratitude to our Savior. And as a result, that gratitude should overflow in our daily lives, just not on Sundays. There is no other organization and institution to be experienced with joy as found in the church. Well, famous last words. Well, hopefully not, though church splits are known to have occurred in the midst of fanatic enthusiasm mistook for joy. Baptism incorporates us into the institution of the church, and the Lord's Supper fosters and sustains our fellowship and communion. Remember this, baptism is a once-in-a-lifetime experience. Remember the scripture, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ said, this sacrament is to be done as often at times as we want to do, daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly, maybe once a year, but it is to be done until His return. Many churches like ours have it once a month. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church, celebrated the Lord's Supper every day. He said the reason for that, he needed it every day. So, you know, there's many things in the Bible which speaks about this sacrament, and it can really touch us if we will take it very seriously. Well, you know, everyone has a knowledge of bread. You know, we have high carb, low carb bread. We have white bread, black bread, brown bread. You just name it. And it comes in biscuits and dinner rolls and just about any other croissants or whatever. But, you know, sometimes we've even baked our own bread. But truthfully, you know, after a while, some of those bread, most of them, like Wonder Bread, they eventually dissolve. We digest them and they're no longer in our stomach. And there's a limited time on them. After that, we need more food to sustain us. Christ fed 5,000 people earthly bread. You remember the feeding of the 5,000. But the bread of life is the bread of heaven. Manna came from God that fed the Israelites during their journey from Egypt to Canaan during the time of Moses. Now, you remember they had just left Egypt. They dwelt there for 430 years. They got out in the Sinai desert, and then they started griping and complaining, oh, if we could only have those luscious vegetables and fruits that we had in Egypt, everything would be fine. What they didn't remember was the lash of the whip from the Egyptians. They were building every structure, pyramids to everything. They were being brutalized, and yet they were, like everything else, glorifying and glossing over those miseries that they had. So they, to them, would rather be back in slavery than to be where they were. Well, Moses, who is a role model for every minister, he had had his fill of them. He's pulling his hair out. So he asked God, you're going to have to do something. They're driving me crazy. And God answered the prayers of Moses. God sent these little wafers, like honey, with honey in them, and they came down in the early morning, and they could go out and pick them up. And by noon, they had melted away. Well, they also were complaining that they needed some meat, so God sent quail by the thousands in, so they gathered quail. Well, they were so greedy after they could, and they just started chowing down on without giving thanks to God. And as God in the Old Testament is displayed, He decided he was going to just smite a few thousand of them, and he did. Well, the reason, and it's not because God is a murderer by no means, it goes to show us a point. In everything we do, we need to be grateful to God. Are you grateful for the clothing that you're wearing today? Now, I know you work for it, and I know if you're in retirement, you get pensions, but deep down, we know God does provide your clothing. What about the roof over your head? What about the food you eat? There's so many things that we can be out of gratitude to God and bless God. But we suffer the same sin as those Israelites because sometimes we have this idea, well, we don't thank God enough, and sometimes we think we do deserve it. So remember, in our lives, we always need to put God in the forefront of our gratitude and thanksgiving and everything we do. The bread of life fulfills, unlike the regular physical bread that we get out made out of wheat, it fulfills those spiritual hunger pains which no drug, legal or illegal, can satisfy. And there is no sadder image. There is no sadder image than a person of faith having their spiritual ribs exposed. We can call it soul malnutrition. Think about that. They allow themselves to never have their spirituality nurtured. And the Lord's Supper is one of the best ways to do it. It's better than any vitamin, because there's no soul vitamins or spiritual vitamins, but the Lord's Supper sustains us thoroughly at everything. Remember, there is vibrant life when we are embraced by the risen Lord. This bread of life will give us spiritual stamina and vitality to live life abundantly with a loving heart. Our lives may be under pressure, while dismal circumstances seem to be closing around us. What is the solution? Well, Holy Communion will nourish and strengthen us. The hunger that Christ satisfies for purpose and meaning blossoms into peace, love, kindness, and a humble walk with God. See, that's what the Lord's Supper does. It reciprocates so many things. No matter how often we feast at the table, there's always a need to replenish ourselves at the Lord's Supper. One of the groups of Christians I admire is the Moravian Church. And when they have the Lord's Supper, they don't call it the Lord's Supper. They call it the Love Feast. And they have a wonderful service. They don't use it every time, but you may have heard me mention it. And I have done it in some other churches where the minister goes out into the congregation and presents all the elements to each person. Now, if you had 1,000 members, I don't know if that would work too well, but a more smaller group, it brings intimacy to this sacrament. And that's what the Moravians do. And I think it really exhibits grace at its best. You know, the sacrament may be looked upon as sort of an offertory. Think about that. As sort of an offering. And you're saying, well, what do you mean by that? Well, it's because we are offering ourselves into the service of our Lord who gave himself as spiritual manna for us. We are reshaped by Christ into his own body as a light unto this world. We become living bread as he is living bread. In reality, it is not by attaining something materially, but it's by yielding everything as our gift of gratitude in reciprocation because Christ has given us grace and salvation. Remember, we are eternally sustained always by Jesus Christ, our bread of life. Take and drink in the name of our Lord. It's the best offer that you will have today. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we are thankful and grateful that you established this sacrament of Holy Communion for us who are your followers. We need this, oh Lord, not just because it's done on certain Sundays of the month, but because as believers we need strengthening, encouragement, we need nurturing, we need just a forgiveness too. It presents forgiveness as well. And repentance. As we come before the table, let us be reminded of that we are just mere human beings, but we are grateful and thankful that you thought of us before you died on the cross. All this we pray through Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.